Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset.
Mitch, take it away. 4 o'clock reset time. Get us caught up. Time for a combo guard to run today's show.
You know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
That is from February 18th of 2023, and yet is it ever relevant after yesterday? Jaden McDaniels, who led all scorers in the Timberwolves 105-93 win with 25 points, puts the Suns now in a 2-0 hole as they make their way back to the Valley for Friday's Game 3.
Very discouraging game last night. You can hold on to as much hope as you want. I know certainly the history of the NBA, hell, the history of the Phoenix Suns show us that teams can come back when they're down 0-2 and win a playoff series. And while I would agree with my esteemed colleague over here to my right that it's certainly possible that it can happen.
Possible. The series is not over yet.
The Suns have not played a brand of basketball that I think allows them to win this series. There's nothing about the way they've played these first two games that would lead me to believe they have a chance of coming back in it. They've played so poorly.
So they play Friday and they play Sunday. And if they lose one of those two games, I'll have no problem coming in here Monday and saying they're toast. They're not going to win three games in a row. No problem. But if they win both of these games, it's a whole new series. It's a best of three, and you're back in the thing. I still hold out a little bit of hope that they'll get their act together at home and play a lot better than they did. I still say it's unlikely. It's unlikely they're going to win 4 out of 5, but I can't rule it out.
Playoff games that also took place yesterday. Luka Doncic and the rest of the Mavs.
Luka.
96-93 win over the Clippers. That series even at 1 apiece.
PJ Washington with the big three. Kyrie Irving with the big three. Luka with the big three. That was a close game. And in Dallas, I was watching it. Dallas kind of broke it open late with some big three-pointers.
That three that Luka hit with about a minute to go, and then he just turned to the L.A. crowd and started shouting at them.
Iron Eagle basically calling him him.
He is him. Yeah, it was. Look, I know we shouldn't celebrate anything Luka Doncic does. I got to admit, that was a pretty damn impressive performance by Luka last night. That went over. And that series is tied up. 1-1.
And then the Pacers also stealing one on the road last night against the Bucks. How about Pascal Siakam? Another 30-point performance for the Pacers.
Yeah, Damian Lillard played really, really well again in the first half of that game. It was good enough in game one to lead the Bucks to a win. It was not good enough in game two. So last night, the narrative changed a little bit. I know Booker had said after the game, hey, you know, so far all the home teams, they're a perfect 12-0. Not anymore. Pacers won on the road and Dallas won on the road. The Suns were not able to win on the road, and they'll have to at some point in this series.
They're going to have to, yeah. And Minnesota, that home court advantage, man, they're going crazy. It's going to be hard to win there. And the Suns, look, I'm going to do a little deeper dive into this, but they've had some struggles the last couple of years winning road games outside of maybe the Clippers. They didn't have anybody.
If you think about Denver last year, the year before that, they could not win in Dallas when they needed to.
Milwaukee, they didn't win in Milwaukee. Didn't win in Denver. Didn't win in Dallas.
They could win in L.A., though.
They didn't have anybody. They didn't have Kawhi. Kawhi came back last night, by the way. It wasn't that good. But he did come back.
The year they went to the finals, the first three series they played, they clinched the series all on the road.
Right. Against teams that were without their best players.
They still won, though.
I mean, it's still
we're going to give them the credit. If we're going to chastise them now, we got to at least give them the credit then. Two games tonight. One just about to get going. Celtics hosting the Heat. That's game two. And then Thunder hosting the Pelicans later tonight. That is also a game two. Let's pivot to the NFL. How about the big story coming out of Detroit? Two big contracts bagged today. Wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown and offensive lineman Penei Sewell. Here's the wrinkle to this, though. I think I saw from Schefter that there's no expectation as far as an extension for Jared Goff. But the wide receiver and a main offensive lineman bagged for Detroit.
My favorite wide receiver in the NFL.
The Sun God.
I think like Amon-Ra St. Brown is my... I'm not saying he's the best. He's really, really good. But he is my favorite wide receiver in this league.
Interesting to see what they do about Jared. Not that there's anything to do about Jared Goff other than play him under the contract. But you would think that he's earned the right to maybe get a new contract there based off of what he's done. So interesting that it hasn't happened yet or not going to happen. What are their plans?
At least not happening now, but who knows, maybe in the future. Other quarterback-related news who's not getting a bag, at least for right now. Justin Fields reportedly is not going to get the fifth-year option from the Steelers, so this is it for him on his current deal.
Listen, I think it's a smart move for them. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, may the best man come out in the end, and whoever is, if you play well, we'll re-sign you and we'll keep you alive. But let's play these. But both of them are free agents. Whoever plays better and ends the season, if you're good, if neither of you are good enough, we let you both walk. If one of you plays good, we can keep you. We can find a way to keep you.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah.
Positive news from the Diamondbacks. Jordan Montgomery once again was fantastic in 7 innings. Unfortunately, it came in a 5-1 loss. And if you want to compound it, yesterday they put not one, not two, but three pitchers on the injured list for 15 days. Kyle Nelson, Miguel Castro, and Merrill Kelly all going to be out for the foreseeable future.
It's really hard to find positive news about the Diamondbacks. They are getting, I'll give them this, Tommy Henry was good last night against St. Louis. Jordan Montgomery was good today. Like, their starting pitching has kind of stabilized even with all these injuries. But the offense is really hit and miss right now. It was huge last night. It was non-existent today. Corbin Carroll. Go look at Corbin Carroll's numbers so far, 30 games into the season.
He hit seventh today.
Struggling big time
Torrey
right now.
Torrey pushed him down in the lineup.
Uh-huh.
Listen, there's a stretch coming up here that is going to be brutal. Three on the road at Seattle, three at home against the Dodgers, three at home against San Diego, on the road against Cincinnati and Baltimore for another six.
Ugh.
Brutal schedule coming up for the D-backs.
Play 500 ball.
Please.
Just play 500
Just
ball.
Play 500
Just
ball.
Play 500 ball and survive until you start to get these guys back. That's all you can hope for.
Switching to college football, it was announced today that Reggie Bush will be receiving his 05 Heisman once again had to be forfeited 14 years ago.
That's good. Give him back the Heisman trophy.
Yeah.
Especially with everything that's going on in college sports now. It's almost like, give him back the trophy.
Yeah, while you're at it, Herm Edwards, give ASU back your $4.4 million, please.
I would take that.
If we're giving things, did you see that story from Cartman? I didn't send it to you. I didn't because I knew we weren't going to talk about it today. But I guess we are because I'm bringing it up.
What
now.
Did it say?
Apparently, Herm Edwards has agreed to one of the longest show causes
5 years
in the history of college coaching. And he basically admitted, I did it all. I knew it all. I was aware of what was going on. I participated in it. And yet ASU still gave him a $4.4 million buyout of his contract as a parting gift. Why?
Right.
Why? Why are we giving coaches going away presents when they have admitted to doing wrong, when they've admitted to participating in acts that were against the rules? Why did he get a golden parachute from ASU? If we're
Michael
giving things
Crow,
back,
right. Ray Anderson.
If we're giving things back, if we're giving back Reggie Bush his Heisman, Herm. Give back the $4.5 million because
God knows you didn't earn it. There's no way he's going to give that money back.
Of course not. I'm being facetious.
Well, why did you even give it to him in the first place? Why did you give it to him, Michael?
Why did you give it to him? What did he do for this program? What did he do to earn that? Drives me crazy.
You guys following the hockey playoffs at all?
No.
I'll catch you up right now.
Rangers
great comeback last night for the Florida Panthers against the Lightning in overtime.
4-3
win. It's a 2-0 series right now. Panthers and Rangers have 2-0 leads over Tampa and Washington. Avalanche and the Predators even things up in their series against the Jets and the Canucks.
Islanders are down 2-0.
Yeah.
Mitch, my hockey heart is a little closed right now.
I'm rooting for Rick Tocchet and the Canucks.
Are you? I haven't really picked a rooting. Although, did I see your tweet correctly? That the price on the land for the Coyotes might be up to $200 million.
Yeah, I was on the phone today with some people on that land. I put $150 to $200, but somebody told me it could go up as high as $200 million.
Wow.
For that land, that's a valuable piece of land, and I'm sure there'll be more than one person bidding on it. But I heard that could be between $150 and $200 million for that land.
Mitch, I keep hijacking your 4 o'clock reset. I was like, hey, what about this? What about that?
I have three things left, and I'll let you choose the one. Devin Booker in an upcoming video game, the latest with basketball transfers in college basketball, or a Diamondbacks prospect making history last night. Pick one.
D-backs prospect? Is that what you would agree?
I don't care about Devin Booker in a video game.
Yasmir Alvarez, who's with Single A Visalia, struck out five batters in one inning last night. Two of them.
What are you talking about, Willis?
So two
reach base on pass balls.
Two base on pass balls. By the way, in his final line, he struck out six batters. That sixth batter also reached base on a wild pitch. And then to cap everything off, Visalia won on a walk-off wild pitch.
Oh,
literally,
my God.
Nobody could catch a baseball.
Oh, my goodness.
Seriously, harness your ability to throw a baseball, catch a baseball, please. Let's see. You throw the ball, you catch the ball, right? Let's
not that hard.
Bull Durham basics.
Who's
here?
The catcher letting all those wild pitches, pass balls go? Who's that catcher?
I only copied down the pitcher's name because it has happened four times prior to him.
Keep your eye on the transaction for the, was it single A you said? That was single A?
Yeah.
Let's see if that catcher gets released today.
Oh, my gosh.
Crash Davis? Anyone? Is he available?
Anyone aggressively looking at Visalia Rawhide transactions? Let us know. That's your 4 o'clock reset.
Thank you, Mitch. We appreciate that. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, whether it's because they don't have a point guard or whether it's because of the defensive pressure Minnesota's putting on Devin Booker or whether it's just forces beyond all that, the Suns' offense right now is a big old mess, and we're going to talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. Burns and Gambo talk Suns Timberwolves now.
Too many possessions running up with their centers flailing at the rim. Their offense so far in this series was 7 points per 100 possessions worse than the worst offense in the regular season. Some of those possessions, they just look like they met each other yesterday. The big three yesterday, 48 points on 18 of 45 shooting. You can't win against this defense taking 22 threes and 19 free throws. This defense demands your full attention, and the Suns are playing with half attention.
Right.
That's Zach Lowe here to cheer you up when talking about the Suns being down 0-2. Yeah, that noise you just made.
It's just the way they played has just fueled the fire about how the roster reconstruction is just wrong and they don't have a point guard. They're too small. Like, it is what it is. I mean, they're going to have to, if they want to prove all these people wrong, they're going to have to play a hell of a lot better than they played in the first two games. That's for sure.
Yeah, the numbers are, they're messy. And these came from Stephen Prejean on Twitter. And I sent you a screenshot of this. Suns have scored less than 25 points in six of the eight quarters they've played against Minnesota so far this series. They've scored 30 just once, second quarter of game two. They've only attempted 53 point shots. That's about 25 on average per game. That's way below where not only it should be, but what it was during the regular season. The Suns have also committed 34 turnovers, 19 live ball turnovers, which Minnesota has flipped into 50 points so far this series. I read another stat. I can't remember where I got it. 24% of the points Minnesota has scored so far in this series have come off of Suns turnovers.
Do you remember what I said when the turnovers were a problem and we really recognized them in like January, early February? We talked a lot about it. This is who they are. Like, they can't change. I always said this. They can't change this part of their game. They can change other things, but this is what me and you talked about this quite a bit. And I was pretty adamant, like, they can't change this. They're not all of a sudden going to go, oh, we're a team that turns the ball over a lot. Oh, we don't turn the ball over at all. This is who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They have to win. They have to overcome that to win basketball games. That is going to be against them almost every time they play. And they can win games, but a lot of other things have to go right for them to win games. The math things that we talk about a lot. But this is not something, and me and you we've gone over this ad nauseum. This is who they are. It's not going to change. You can't say, oh, just protect the ball better, or just do a better job, or pay more attention to it. No, they're a sloppy team without a true point guard, and they mishandle the ball a lot with their passes and stepping out of bounds and getting stripped, and that's just who they are. Now, it doesn't mean they can't win, but they're going to have to win despite that, because that's who they are.
Yeah, they're going to have to, and they've done enough this year to be able to win games and overcome that, because you're right, it is part of their DNA. I think last night reached a different level of frustration with me for the turnovers, and here's the reason why. I thought the turnovers were kind of a reflection of a team that had just kind of quit. You know, a team that just, and we've talked about this a little bit, that 33-13 run from the middle of the third quarter until about the middle of the fourth quarter when the Timberwolves outscored the Suns 33-13. I don't know how many of the turnovers happened then, and I don't know how many of the points off of turnovers happened then, But it felt like it was a lot. And it felt like that was kind of the moment where last night, yes, the Suns are always going to be a high turnover team. And yes, it's been a problem all year. And we've all just kind of had to learn to live with it. Last night, I don't know if you agree with me, I thought it reached a new level of suck. Because it felt like it was the direct visible symptom of them deciding not to play basketball anymore last night. Agree? Disagree?
No, I don't disagree with you at all. I think that there was a point in that game, human nature, and everybody could sit there, oh, they should have fought, they should have fought harder. I get it. But there's a point in that game where they realized that they weren't going to win, and it was lost. The game was lost. Because as we've said about this team's different. Minnesota's different than Sacramento. Or some of the, you know, firepower offensive teams that they play. You can't get down 19 points against a team that's that good defensively. Every possession is a battle of life and death to get a basket. Mm-hmm. You're not going to score. You're not going to go on a 14-0 run in a minute. Hey, you can do it against Sacramento. You know, you can do that against Sacramento. You want to score 14 points in a minute and a half? You can. Can't do that against Minnesota. They're too good defensively.
Way too good.
That if now Minnesota can't, to the contrary, Minnesota's not good at coming from behind. So if you could build a 15-point lead on them, you're probably going to win because they're not a great offensive team. But they are a great defensive team. So if you get down double digits against them, it's a lot harder to come back against them.
This is Kevin Durant after the game on the offense in the third quarter and how it all dried up.
It was a little stagnant. I think we also got some good looks that we couldn't hit. And on the other side, they stretched us out. You know, with the trap and the pick and roll, and now you got guys going downhill off a closeout, and it's tough to stop, you know. I think that's what... That's what their offense does. Is, you know, we trap them Conley. We stretch out, get guys going on the other side. You know, so that was tough. It was just a tough stretch for us there, and it's been happening in the third, so we got to figure that out.
Can I tell you something else that bugged me about the Suns' offense last night, since we haven't brought enough gripes about last night?
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to throw one more gripe log onto the fire here to just keep it burning for another hour and a half or go. What was up with the Yusuf Nurkic post-ups in the third quarter where, like, for 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 straight possessions, hey, let's dump it to Nurk in the low post and have him bang against Rudy Gobert and see if he can get a basket. And they kept going to it again and again. And it's like, guys, stop. Stop. I mean, I get that Yusuf Nurkic in the post is kind of a great place to run the offense in terms of, like, passing the ball and setting up open shots. Your offensive focus should not be Yusuf Nurkic down in the low post when I got Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant, three of the elite scorers in the NBA. Why is Nurkic the focal point at that point?
You're talking what point in the game?
Like third quarter. It was roughly in the third quarter.
After they had taken
I don't remember when it was after they'd taken the lead, before they'd taken the lead. It was, but when that third quarter offense ground to a halt, I felt like part of it was because they were almost obsessed with, like, feeding the ball to Nurk in the low post and just letting him bang bodies with Rudy Gobert while everybody was just kind of standing around and watched. It slowed the offense down to next to nothing, I thought.
It's almost like we can't get by their perimeter defense. Let's just give it to Nurkic and see what he can do.
Yeah, you know what? Like okay, they're in our head. They've stymied us. And really, up until that point, that's the thing, is that they hadn't. Remember, 3-point lead with about 7 minutes to go. Back-to-back threes by Beal and Booker. They weren't in control of that game, but at least they were in a position to win that game with the 63-60 lead. And then it still baffles me. And I agree that both of these things can be true. I agree that the Minnesota Timberwolves perimeter defense locking the Suns up. I think it can also be true that offensive talents like Bradley Beal and Devin Booker need to find a way to rise above it because they're just too good at what they do. And so far this series, they have not been able to find an answer to that at all.
I'm a big believer. Your best players have to play well. Not Royce O'Neal, not Drew Eubanks, but your best players have to play really well for you to win playoff series.
Yeah, and Royce O'Neal, take a shot.
Yeah.
Take a shot. Did he shoot one basket last night? I don't think he had one field goal attempt in last night's game. If we're talking about what's wrong, he was 0 for 0. Last night. Didn't attempt one shot in the game.
Well, that's the problem, too, is that their depth is way... Like, Royce O'Neal, he's a good player. He's okay. He's fine. He's just... But they're role players. Like, they have 4 role players that are better than Royce O'Neal. It's not a knock on Royce, but their role players are just better. They're better. And Royce is not good at defending speed. He's good at defending bigger guys, but he's not great at defending speed.
All right, let's get to the real nuts and bolts about last night. After you text us your thoughts on the FanDuel text line at 620 right now. the officiating and the role it played in disrupting the Phoenix Suns and their process last night. It's probably the story of the game as far as I'm concerned, and we'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Hey, it's Wolf. The NFL Draft is here. So what's in store for Monty Ossenfort and the Arizona Cardinals? We get going tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Gordon brings it up on offense to Booker, who drives past Towns, gets grabbed and fouled, tries to force up a shot. They're going to call an offensive foul on Book. Josh Tibbins says he hooked Karl Anthony Towns.
Wow.
Booker turns and tells Frank Vogel to challenge it. Frank's looking at his back row, and he is going to call a timeout.
I swear to God, in my nightmares, I'm going to have visions of NBA players doing the challenge it. Challenge it thing. If I see that, right, yeah. Challenge it. Hey, no, challenge. Hey, we're 10 seconds into the first quarter. Challenge that. Hey, come on. Look at that. There's no way. So sick of that.
He challenged it, and Booker hooked him. It was obvious.
Plain as day.
But you go by the emotions. And look, sometimes you want to challenge it to not have a third or a fourth foul on a guy. But I remember when Karl Anthony Towns got his third foul and had to come out of the game yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep.
Finch was like, okay, it is what it is. Like, I'm not going to lose a challenge on this. You're not going to come to the bench.
Nope.
You know, so, like, that's part of the issue, too, is, like, you just can't trust the players all the time to tell you what call to make. You've got to have your own people tell you it's a good call, challenge it.
We've all got our issues with what we saw last night, the Suns being down 0-2. I don't want to speak for you. I'm guessing your issue is much more about defensively how they're guarding Booker and the lack of a point guard, and I get that. That's... To me, my issue with last night's game was how they completely lost their composure, completely lost their focus, and they gave in to their emotions that they were feeling of the referees. And because of that, they completely lost sight of the objective last night. They were so...
Yeah, They were consumed by it.
Mm-hmm. By the referees and the calls. This is the entire Suns leadership group last night. I'm talking about Vogel. I'm talking about Booker. I'm talking about Durant. I'm talking about Nurk. They all collectively lost their minds about the officiating last night and completely stopped paying attention to what mattered most because of it. And that is unacceptable at this level in this moment. It is completely unacceptable that nobody in that organization in that moment, hey guys, let it go. Move on. Let it be. Let's focus on what's going on. Which do you want, the Frozen song or you want Beatles? Whichever one. Let it go. Let it be. Play some damn basketball and quit worrying about the three people who are officiating the game. Please stop it.
Right. Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I love Eddie Johnson, but he put something out the other day about, like, you know, this is reality. He said all players complain, whether they're average, above average, great, or all-time greats, and only haters of that particular player yap about said player being a crybaby. Even MJ complained. Like, it's too much. Like, everybody that watches the Suns realizes it's too much.
Yeah.
Like, there are times when you can complain. There are times, but you can't go to that well. It's like the boy who cried wolf. Like, you can't keep crying wolf because, like, then officials like you complain about every call. Like, you just have to, if you're specific with two or three throughout the course of a game, that's going to get the referee's attention more than complaining on most calls.
Yeah, look, I agree that everybody complains. And I, like, look at what happened a couple of nights ago. LeBron James walked out of his post-game press conference because he was upset with the officiating. Joel Embiid complained about the officiating, and rightfully so. The two-minute report in the end of that game for the Knicks 76ers proved that he was right. But I do believe, and I really do believe this, that while maybe everybody complains in this league and everybody gripes at the referees, I think the Suns' biggest problem is that
they let it bother
them more than other teams do. They let it knock them off their game more than other teams do.
It becomes a distraction.
Yeah.
It becomes like they're so worried about that, and they lose sight of playing the basketball game.
I'm going to read this tweet again because I think within this tweet is what happened last night. This is John Hollinger, noted NBA insider with The Athletic, who tweeted out last night, Suns got two bad calls at the end of the third and completely lost their bleep. Vogel included. And that's exactly what happened. They didn't get the calls, and they lost their minds, and they stopped playing because of it. Would they have won? I don't know. I doubt it. But at least it would have been more competitive. But because they so completely gave in to this anger and this obsession that they had with the officiating, they didn't have a chance last night.
You know what happened with 9.7 seconds left in the third quarter last night? Karl-Anthony Towns picked up his fourth foul. Did it affect Minnesota? Did they complain about it?
Did they
go crazy because they maybe that shouldn't have been, because it sent Kevin Durant to the free throw line with 9 seconds left in the quarter.
Maybe he did complain about it. Maybe he did bark at the referees. But even if he did, it didn't impact their game.
Nope.
It didn't force them. And that's where, like, let the exchange with Devin Booker and Dwayne Rankin after the game. I mean, Booker's one of the chief offenders in this particular category. But listen to this exchange here.
As the game is going, I know obviously having those conversations with the official, I know what you're trying to accomplish. Okay, this is how I'm seeing the game. But at what point is it like, maybe I need to back off, or maybe you lose it in terms of having those conversations with the ref?
Which one are you talking about?
Just particularly it was one where you thought that you got bumped on the side, and then you thought that should have been a foul, and then they called it for a turnover. I thought that might have been the beginning of maybe your frustration really starting to get to you a little bit. I could be wrong, but...
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
My frustration is just, within the team. We need to execute. We play well when we're playing well, and then, we need to stick together once things turn bad. And like I said, we've done that throughout the season, so, something that has to be corrected.
I got on Dwayne to... there with the question. Good on him to get there with the question on the foul and how's it affect. My problem is, what'd he say? My problem is within the team itself.
That's what he said. He said, my frustration is just within the team. We need to execute. We play well when we're playing, and then we need to stick together once things turn bad. He went on to say, we're all trying to fight out there, and so far this series, once it is turned to bleep, we've kind of separated instead of being together, and that's everybody top to bottom. We got to figure it out.
They stop pointing fingers at each other. This team's not going to make it.
No.
Because that's what happens a lot of times. You're looking for answers, and you blame other people, and you got to take everybody's got to take responsibility. Frank's got to do a better job coaching. The players got to do a better job playing.
Speaking of Frank, after the game,
we can't let the refs distract our focus. The refs didn't beat us the T-Wolves did. Okay, we got some bad calls, but that happens in every game. Okay, it happened both ways. We have to be locked in, and we can't let that distract our focus. And when they're scoring on us, okay, and we're not getting the right stops, we can't not be organized offensively. And we had too many possessions like that.
I have to go back and check my notes, Gambo. I can think of off the top of my head at least two occasions when Frank Vogel went on record when he was asked about turnovers by Kevin Durant and why Devin Booker had a poor shooting night. Two separate games. Both times he blamed the referees in his post-game press conference. So now to kind of come back it and say, well, we got to be more focused. We got to keep our composure. Well, wait a minute. During the regular season, it's not what you were doing. When Kevin Durant was turning the ball over, you blamed it on the refs. When Devin Booker had a rough shooting night, you said he was getting fouled all night.
There are times when you may want to do that.
Of course, there are strategic times
when you feel like you are getting jobbed and you want to let them know so the next time it's that they officiate a little bit better.
But I also think if you create a culture where you're allowing this kind of almost unchecked, we're just going to yell at the referees all the time instead of play. You can't allow that to exist within your program either, where you're just creating a culture where, during timeouts, there's Nurk just barking at an official, or there's Book just barking at an official. It was the singular thing that made last night's game almost unwatchable. I can't believe they allowed it to get that bad.
And Vogel got a tech.
Yeah.
And Conley hits a free throw. Now, it didn't end up being a close game, but that's got to be careful with those two. Close game, you don't want to give away a single point.
Big time. Absolutely big time. All right, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, after we remind you to embrace the Suns playoffs and go all in with Arizona sports, tune in every day in the 8 o'clock hour, 12 o'clock hour, and 3 o'clock hour. Get our exclusive Phoenix Suns code word. Text it to 620-620 for your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Don't miss your chance. Tune in today during the 8 a.m. hour. Well, that's already passed. Tune in tomorrow during the 8 a.m., 12 p.m., and 3 p.m. hours for your chance. The second half of the Gambo 5. Five guys. One of them's going to be a Cardinal if things go according to plan. All of these guys play one position. What that could be. Next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo present the Gambo 5.
It makes its glorious return to the airwaves here at Arizona Sports. The Gambo 5. Five names. If all goes according to plan, one of these five will be a member of the Arizona Cardinals. Now, at first you might hear this and go, well, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Number four. Obviously, it's going to be one of these five guys. In fact, if we really wanted to get down to brass tacks here, we could probably narrow it down to two. If they stay at four, we could probably call it the Gambo 2 and say it's either going to be Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. Don't know that, but that would be our best guess. But we also know there's this possibility of the Cardinals trading around all over the board, right? Do they pick at 4 or do they actually pick at 6 or at 5 or at 7 or at 8 or at 9? We don't know. So that's what Gambo's Gambo 5 has built in this year. Please explain to the people what we're talking about.
So over the years, no matter where the Cardinals were picking, we've been able to say, we guarantee that Zaven Collins will be the pick for the Cardinals. We give you five guys and say it'll be one of these guys. We correctly had Hassan Reddick, Zaven Collins, Isaiah Simmons. We said the Cardinals would only trade up for Josh Rosen for the quarterbacks. We named five guys and said if they do go for a quarterback, though, it will be Rosen, and we only mentioned Rose. So we've had a good track record of success with it. This year, I decided to do a little something different because it's a little. I think it's pretty easy to everybody out there. If you said, okay, you're picking at four, you know, who you're going to get, I think I should be able to get that, you know, 99.9% of the time. So what I did this year is I said, okay, I'm going to expand the horizon a little bit and say, okay, what if they trade out of four and then trade back up into the top 10? So I gave myself players in the top 10. If they have a top 10 pick, here's the five players I think it would be.
Okay.
And you felt pretty good about that, about who it's going to be. The last time we did this, I mentioned two players that were not wide receivers. One was Joe Alt, the Notre Dame tackle, and the other was Dallas Turner, the Alabama edge rusher. So if they're picking eighth or ninth and there's no wide receivers there, I think it'll either be the tackle from Notre Dame or the edge rusher from Alabama.
But if they're picking fourth or fifth or seventh, then it's one of the three wide receivers. And not to, you know, I think it's fairly obvious that the wide receivers have been the focal point of this. So let's play their draft profiles and then talk about what might happen. This is Sarah. We've already played these multiple times, so we're not playing the guessing game here. This is Sarah Kazell on Marvin Harrison Jr.
Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State.
As Cardinals fans well know, he is the prize receiver of this class. With some help from his dad's Hall of Fame genetics, Harrison Jr. already has all of the tools he needs to be a day one star. The build, the mid-air body control, the nuanced route running, and, of course, the surefire hands. In his final season with Ohio State, Harrison Jr. averaged 18.1 yards per catch for over 1,200 yards and 14 touchdowns. He brings down the contested catches, and once he has the ball, his speed and physicality take over. No matter where he lands in the draft, that team will be better for it. NFL comp, Cowboys receiver CeeDee Lamb.
This 2024 NFL Draft Player Profile is brought to you by Bud Light.
We've played that profile a few times. CeeDee Lamb?
I know.
CeeDee Lamb? It's nothing against Sarah. I know she's just reading it. But CeeDee Lamb? Okay.
You want more.
I think we just want more. Do a little better than that.
Hopefully he doesn't have the same, if he does get, you know, picked in a show, he doesn't have the same issue with his phone and his girlfriend as CeeDee Lamb had. You guys remember that?
No, I don't remember what
he had
happened.
One phone talking to like an agent, and then his girlfriend was like looking at his other phone. He grabbed the phone from her.
You can't be looking at my phone like that. I do remember that now. Yeah. Well, you know.
I want you to see who's texting me.
If you're dating a guy and he's got two phones, be suspicious.
Yes.
Lauren's giving me the thumbs down right now. Like,
Lauren, is that the, like, the
guy's got two phones? Chances are there's something going on one of them that you don't want to know about.
That's the first question. How many phones do you have? Two? Can't date you.
Here's Jarrett Carlin talking about Malik Nabers.
Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU.
Malik Nabers has been described as electric, dynamic, and more explosive than your stomach after a pot of Louisiana gumbo. Hoo-wee! In 2023, the speedy wide receiver averaged 17.6 yards per catch and had 9 touchdowns of 20 yards or more, second most in all of college football. He is elite at changing speeds, has big, strong hands, and is a premium leaper. While he's still a raw talent and can improve his route running, Nabers is a big play waiting to happen in the NFL. I guarantee. NFL comp, Justin Jefferson.
This 2024 NFL Draft Player Profile is brought to you by Bud Light.
Did you see what Pete Prisco said about Malik Nabers?
No, tell me.
Pete Prisco said that in his mock draft that he released yesterday of what he thinks should happen, not what will, but what should happen, he thinks the Cardinals should take Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 4. That's what he thinks should
happen. There's not a lot of those people out there that have a wide receiver ahead of Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals.
Nope. And his reasoning is very simple. Quote, I like Nabers more than Marvin Harrison, which is why this is the pick. That's it. Both will be great. My preference is Nabers. And he just kind of kept it simple like that. Here's the third wide receiver and the final member of the Gambo 5 to join Alt, Dallas Turner, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Malik Nabers. And it, of course, is Rome Odunze.
Romo Odunze, wide receiver, Washington.
There are some draft experts who rank Odunze at the top of this wide receiver class. Why could those experts be right? Well, he's got the frame to compete at the next level. He's got trustworthy hands. He can win the one-on-ones, and he's smooth on his feet. Where those experts could be wrong lies in his route running and the explosiveness after the catch, something he'll need to improve on if he wants to stand out at the next level. NFL comp, future first ballot Hall of Famer, Larry Fitzgerald.
This 2024 NFL Draft Player Profile is brought to you by Bud Light.
Larry Fitzgerald, C.D. Lamb.
I was going to say, Marvin Harrison Jr. gets C.D. Lamb, and Rome Odunze gets Larry Fitzgerald. Something wrong here?
Based on the comparisons, then Rome Odunze should be the top guy.
He should be. Can I tell you something, though?
This is
kudos on the Gambo 5. I would be willing to bet anybody on this show a lunch that if it's not Marvin Harrison Jr., it'll be Rome Odunze.
Oh,
I'd be willing to bet anybody on the show a lunch that
you want this. You going for the size?
That if
you think it's the size,
if the Cardinals will, if it's not Marvin Harrison Jr.,
size matters.
Yeah, that the Cardinals will walk away with Rome Odunze. He'd be the next player I think they'll walk away with. That's my opinion. I don't. You're the source guy. You do the Gambo thing. I just sit over here and talk and guess. But that'd be my guess. Is that if it's not Marvin Harrison Jr., it's wrong.
I would love to know going into tomorrow's draft show.
Yeah,
who's third? Not who's first or second, but who's third on that list. That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah. On your Gambo 5?
No, on the Cardinals draft board.
Oh.
Which guy is the third wide receiver?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to know that too. I'd love to know that too.
Me too.
anybody inside the Cardinals draft room want to just send us a little picture of the draft board, please? Just let us know. Can you imagine you're like a janitor in there cleaning up and you're like, wow, okay. You go sell that stuff on the internet. Something tells me the Cardinals draft room has not been cleaned in a couple of weeks for that exact same reason.
No, you just take a selfie. You make it harmless. I'm just going to take a selfie of me. Look, here's me at work. And behind me is the board. I didn't do anything hard. I just took a selfie of me and I posted it.
People think I'm just a lowly janitor. I am instead the janitor, NFL draft insider. I know everything the Cardinals are going to do. We'll see. Our draft coverage tomorrow. You and I are going to be out there at the big draft party on the Great Lawn at the BetMGM Sportsbook. Okay. You and I are doing our show from 2 until 4. And then starting at 4 o'clock, we go into our draft coverage. You, me, Wolf, Bick. Later on throughout the broadcast, Vince Marotta, Luke Lipinski, we're going to have the whole crew out there. We're going to bring in wall-to-wall, pick-to-pick coverage of the first round, and we are looking forward to it. Do want to remind you here on the Burns and Gambo Show, you've got the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You won't miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo Show brought to you by Keller Royce has the buyers, your home sold, guaranteed realty. When we come back, Kevin Durant. Is he done? Worn out? Done? That's coming up here on Arizona Sports.